In my dream, I'm sitting on a hillside with my back against a tree. In one hand, I hold my Bible, and in the other hand, the book, The Great Controversy. After reading, I look up to see a beautiful green valley. A warm breeze blows the tall green grass, and I hear different songbirds. Looking up at the blue, pristine sky, I notice several beautiful white clouds float by. I am in silent prayer when I notice the sky roll apart like a scroll, and several angels slowly descend. I lay my books down, stand up, and watch the angels land. Some of them I recall from other dreams. The one angel who stands in front of the rest is a little taller and more noble-looking. I recognize him to be the herald. He and the angels come and stand in front of me. He smiles at me, but before he can speak, I say aloud in a clear voice, "In the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for all that will believe in him and have everlasting life, I command you to not say a word, but depart and never return to me." And to the accompanying angels I say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for all that will believe in him and have everlasting life, I command you to not say a word, but depart and never return to me." The herald speaks and says, "The name of the one in whom you command me to leave is the name of the one who has sent me. I cannot leave, as he, my Lord, my Master, Michael, the one who all should call out his name, Jesus Christ, has sent us." The herald walks over, picks up the book, The Great Controversy. He says, "This is the main book that Lucifer and his followers do not like." The herald hands my book to me and says, "Soon this will all be over." He backs away and, along with a large group of angels, stands to the right of me. They all turn and look up. The sky rolls apart and a large circle of angels slowly descend. It is very bright in the middle. As they approach, I see Jesus in the middle of all. He slowly comes toward me and says, "What you command of the herald, command of me." I look to him and I say that I do not want to, as I know whom he is. He calls me by my heavenly name and says, "It is not through just your prayers that I offer an answer to this test, but through the prayers of many that I now answer. So ask." I look to him and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for all that will believe in him and have everlasting life, I command you to not say a word, but depart and never return to me." Jesus looks at me and says, "It is through my blood, it is through my death, it is through stripes I took for you, it is through being nailed to a cross, being separated from my Father, your Father, and dying that I will not leave. I cannot leave. It is through my love for you that I stay." Jesus calls me by my heavenly name and says, "May I have your hand?" I hold out my hand and we rise just a little into the air. Jesus places his right hand on my left shoulder. He calls me by my heavenly name and says, "I have heard the doubts of the naysayers. I have heard the claims that my messenger is an agent of Satan. I have heard the accusations made against you. I have seen how my thoughts of my people have been twisted, and that because of what they have said, many no longer want to believe. I have allowed my messenger to be tested using 1 John 4, verses 1 to 3. My messenger gave a perfect account of whom he serves. But that was not enough. I allowed another test of my messenger, showing it was through my blood that I gave on the cross, that all may live. That was not enough. I came and taught how to test the spirits, but that was not enough. It is through my patience that I allowed the messenger to be commanded in the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for all that will believe in him and have everlasting life. I command you to not say a word, but depart and never return to me. However, my vial of patience is almost empty. Those that have made claims against me and my messenger with the facts that I have given prove that they are wrong and are being used of Satan. Jesus turns and begins writing in the sky. Let the people of God arouse out of sleep and begin in earnest the work of repentance and reformation. Let them search the scriptures to learn the truth as it is in Jesus. Let them make an entire consecration to God, and evidence will not be wanting that Satan is still active and vigilant. With all possible deception, he will manifest his power, calling to his aid all the fallen angels of this realm. Every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. As men see that they cannot maintain their positions by the Scriptures, many determine to maintain it at all hazards, and with a malicious spirit they assail the character and motives of those who stand in defense of unpopular truth. Jesus turns to me and explains that many who have said wrongs against me are not what people think they are. Many people would rather listen to others than to study to know God's voice. Many will say they speak and perform miracles in His name. Jesus says, I tell you this, I know them not. Jesus now begins writing in the sky. I have been shown that evil angels in the form of believers will work in our ranks to bring in a strong spirit of unbelief. These powers of evil will assemble in our meetings, not to receive a blessing, but to counteract the influences of the Spirit of God. In this time, evil angels in the form of men will talk with those who know the truth. They will misinterpret and misconstrue the statements of the messengers of God. There will be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in the midst of the church, and these evil influences will increase. But hold fast the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. Satan and his angels will appear on this earth as men, and will mingle with those of whom God's word says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The enemy works untiringly to deceive human beings and lead them away from God. He and his angels will in the future assume the shape of human beings and work to make the truth of God of no effect. Those who know the truth, but who walk contrary to the truth, may never place their foot in the path that Christ followed. I must warn all our churches to beware of men who are being sent out to do the work of spies in our conferences and churches, a work instigated by the father of falsehood and deception. Let every church member stand true to principle. We have been told what would come, and it has come. Jesus now states, I have asked that you choose this day whom you will serve. Do you serve the ones who have misquoted my messengers? Do you serve the ones who have called my messengers of Satan? I sent a message in the love and rebuke dream. It was ignored and levity was made of it. I gave it again when I instructed on how to test the spirits. Again, it was ignored. I still ask if I will find faith. After teaching how to test the spirits and giving my rebuke, you want to cast out my messages. Jesus turns to me and says, man ordains man to serve on my behalf, but I have called you personally to serve on my behalf. There was a shepherd that needed help tending his flocks. He gave a staff and a robe to each, and they went out and called themselves shepherds. Many sheep followed them, but many got lost along the way, and many fell into crevices unbeknown to the shepherd. The shepherds took them to drink water that did not move. The sheep were content in following, even though many would become lost and die. Because one carries a staff and has a robe does not make him a shepherd. To those who call themselves shepherds or ministers, I have sent messages through my prophet, Ellen White. I cannot express to you my burden and stress of mind as through the true condition of this cause has been presented before me. There are men working in the capacity of teachers of the truth who need to learn their first lessons in the school of Christ. The converting power of God must come upon the hearts of the ministers, or they should seek some other calling. If Christ's ambassadors realize the solemnity of presenting the truth to the people, they will be sober, thoughtful men, workers together with God. If they have a true sense of the commission which Christ gave to his disciples, they will with reverence open the word of God and listen for instructions from the Lord, asking for wisdom from heaven, that as they stand between the living and the dead, they may realize that they must render an account to God for their work coming forth from their hands. There is great danger of encouraging a class of men to enter the field who have no genuine burden for souls. We have a dwarfed and defective ministry. We must be sure that our ministers are converted men, humble, meek, and lowly of heart. There must be a decided change in the ministry. A more critical examination is necessary in respect to the qualifications of a minister. Moses was directed of God to obtain experience in caretaking, in thoughtfulness, in tender solicitude for his flock, that he might, as a faithful shepherd, be ready when God should call him to take charge of his people. A similar experience is essential for those who engage in the great work of preaching the truth. In order to lead souls to the life-giving fountain, the preacher must first drink of the fountain himself. He must see the infinite sacrifice made by the Son of God to save fallen men. And his own soul must be imbued with the spirit of undying love. If God appoints us hard labor to perform, we must do it without a murmur. If the path is difficult and dangerous, it is God's plan to have us follow in meekness and cry unto him for strength. In order to be at home in heaven, we must have heaven enshrined in our hearts here. If this is not the case with us, it were better that we had no part in the work of God. The ministry is corrupted by unsanctified ministers. Unless there shall be altogether a higher and more spiritual standard for the ministry, the truth of the gospel will become more and more powerless. I dreamed that I was in Battle Creek holding out from the side glass at the door, and I saw a company marching up to the house, two and two. They looked stern and determined. I knew them well and turned to open the parlor door to receive them, but thought I would look again. The scene was changed. The company now presented the appearance of a Catholic procession. One bore in his hand a cross, another a reed. And as they approached, the one carrying a reed made a circle around the house, saying three times, "This house is proscribed. The goods must be confiscated. They have spoken against our holy order." Terror seized me, and I ran through the house out of the north door, and found myself in the midst of a company, some of whom I knew, but I dared not speak a word to them for fear of being betrayed. I tried to seek a retired spot where I might weep and pray without meeting eager, inquisitive eyes wherever I turned. I repeated frequently, "If I could only understand this, if they will tell me what I have said or what I have done." I wept and prayed much as I saw our goods confiscated. I tried to read sympathy or pity for me in the looks of those around, and marked the countenances of several whom I thought would speak to me and comfort me if they did not fear that they would be observed by others. I made one attempt to escape from the crowd, but seeing that I was watched, I concealed my intentions. I commenced weeping aloud and saying, "If they would only tell me what I have done or what I have said." Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Whoever attempts the work of reform will have decided opposition to meet. This work requires self-renunciation. We must not ask whether we are appreciated or unappreciated. With this, we have not to do. Look at the way in which Christ worked. Whoever attempts any work of reform, Whoever tries to lead the sinner to a life of self-denial and holiness will need every hour the assurance given by Christ after his resurrection. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It is not for you or me to measure the appreciation shown for the self-denial and self-sacrifice made. The work of reform will call for all the faith and tears and prayers that human intelligence can bear. Our commission is, lift the cross and bear it after Jesus, striving ever for the same spirit that led Jesus to yearn for his anticipated baptism of suffering upon the cross. Jesus calls me by my heavenly name and says, I showed you in another dream how I instructed one of my angels to place one large blue cape with gold and silver trim on all the edges over both you and Becky. Go and share the things I have shown you in your dreams. Do not worry about those that place themselves mightier than you. I am the creator of all. Go and share the dreams. Prepare my people. Tell them I am coming. I said I go to prepare a place for you. Tell them I have a place ready for them. Get ready, as I am coming to take you back with me. Keep going in the direction I have shown you. Soon some of those who laugh and say that you are going the wrong way may realize they have been wrong. Stand fast, stand together as one. Be strong as a wall intertwined. Draw strength from each other as I have instructed you. Let the seed of truth go deep and in every portal. My truth, which has been tested, has been proven true. Go forth as I have instructed. Maintain the course you have been given. Jesus now turns to a large group of angels who hold special writing instruments that resemble large, pure gold candles. He commands other angels who hold a book to accompany those that hold the writing instruments. He instructs other angels that excel in speed to accompany each of the angels he spoke of. He commands them to go forth and quickly write the name on the forehead of those who have decided to follow him. Let those who serve another master not receive my mark. Let those who follow and serve them also not receive my mark. Tarry not as my people wait to come home. I watch as all these angels quickly leave. Jesus now turns to me and I ask if he has already begun pouring out his wrath. He says, please come as I have more to show you. We rise further into the air, and he tells me to hold to my faith. He says, remember, these things need to happen so I can come. This must be fulfilled. I have shown you the destruction which will come. This has already begun. You have witnessed earthquakes, tsunamis, fires, flooding. But this is just the beginning of sorrows. He then shows me how many people will lose their funds and how their stomachs will cry out from hunger. The cars will sit as fuel will be unattainable. Jesus continues, those whom I have instructed to leave the city and still remain will suffer most. Many I have not yet called to leave, but will soon. Many I will call, but they will not listen to my voice. They do not know my voice. Brother will turn against brother, and the pure hatred Satan has seeded will flourish. I will allow Satan to cause death and destruction to many cities. Many of my people will be laid to rest. Some will remain till I come to take them home. Many will see me come, and I will know them not. You have already been shown the fireballs in the cities that will be destroyed. You do not need to share which ones, as all must learn to be dependent upon their Creator's voice, not man's voice. If they only ask, I will tell them. You have already been shown how man will rise up and proclaim a false god and worship on a day I did not and have never instituted. I have blessed and hallowed the seventh day, and it has and always will be. Jesus holds my hand tightly and says to watch again. I see the first fireball scream past us and hit directly into the atmosphere. It hits so hard that even from where we are, the whole earth shakes. The fireball does not go through the atmosphere, but explodes. The large city underneath instantly evaporates into nothing. All the buildings, bridges, vehicles, bodies of water, and people. I continue to watch as a large hole is made in the ground in the middle where the first fireball hit in the atmosphere overhead. Fine debris shoots upward from the hole and comes back down to fill in where the city used to be. Large compression rings causes wakes of destruction as they emanate outwards. As the rings slow and diminish, so does the destruction. The air is now filled with the clouds of destruction. Many other fireballs penetrate the atmosphere at an angle, hitting Earth's surface and causing destruction. As the Earth turns, I now see that this is a global event. Many cities around the world lay in ruins. I ask Jesus when this will happen. He replies, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I ask if he is going to allow almost everyone to be destroyed. He turns to me with those eyes that have such love and asks, Will I find faith in my people? Jesus looks down at the world, then back at me and asks, Will I find faith, the faith of Abraham? Who now would have the faith to offer his son as an offering? Please come, I want to show you something. We go to where Jesus shows me a scene. He says, There are assembled here 1,000 horses. Each of these horses is going to run. He commands the horses to begin, and I watch as they run fast. I see some trip and fall. Others see bales of hay along the course. Others see luscious green pastures. Some see horses they want to spend time with, and they stop. After a while, only one horse remains and crosses the finish line. I turn to Jesus and ask if he is now showing that one in 1,000 will make it to heaven. He looks at me and asks, Will I find faith when I return? He then turns and writes in the sky, They have sent their treasure beforehand to heaven. Brethren, you have received the truth at a later period and have large possessions. God has called you into the field, not merely that you may enjoy the truth, but that you may aid with your substance in carrying forward this great work. And if you have an interest in this work, you will venture out and invest something in it, that others may be saved by your efforts, and you reap with them the final reward. Great sacrifices have been made and privations endured to place the truth in a clear light before you. Now God calls upon you, in your turn, to make great efforts and to sacrifice in order to place the truth before those who are in darkness. God requires this. You profess to believe the truth. Let your work testify to the fact. Unless your faith works, it is dead. Nothing but a living faith will save you in these fearful scenes which are just before you. Jesus now states, Many have tried to say where the storehouse is, and much confusion ensues. Let no man misunderstand. He turns and writes in the sky, Let the precious graces of the Spirit live in your hearts. Turn out the world with its corrupting lust. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If your profession is as high as heaven, and yet you are selfish and world-loving, you can have no part in the kingdom with the sanctified, the pure and holy. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there. You will talk of heaven, eternal life, the immortal crown. if you lay up your treasure on earth, you will be talking of earthly things, worrying about losses and gains. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Jesus says to all, remember now what I have said before. There is light and salvation for you, if you will only believe that you must have it or perish. I can save to the uttermost. If you are deceived in what you believe and know, you must have a thorough conversion, or you will never be one of that number who have come up through a great tribulation, having washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.